Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the issue gets real.
People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Hello, everybody. That was my best British accent. Did that work?
Very good.
Okay. If you're listening to my voice right now, that means you are currently tuning in to Video Game Bang's Weekend Bang. I am your lovely host, Aaron Christopher Carter.
Wow. Very, full name today?
Very privileged to hear that, yeah. Wow. Joining me as ever, if this man were Iron Man, he wouldn't know how to design a suit. Corey Vincent!
Wow, I like how you... Okay, I'll take it.
I'm trying this out right now.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And if this guy, next person, hasn't been here in a while, was the Hulk, he wouldn't be angry enough to punch through styrofoam. Noel Beltran.
Hello, everybody. And yes, I would. How dare you?
And new to the show and never been here before, but he is always in our hearts. If he were the Black Panther, he'd be white. Adam
bunch
C.
Of, bunch of racists.
Say hello to the people, Adam.
Hello to the people.
And that is our cavalcade of crew members today joining us. And the reason why we have these two on today is because the day is going to focus on indie games. And these two indie people that are with us today are barely ever on the show.
I thought I was white.
Well, it's all the same difference. Indie, white, I mean, it's the same thing.
Indie is not short for Indian, by the way.
Oh.
Depends on what you're referencing.
Depends on what year it is.
Red Dothead or...
Oh,
Redskin.
Whoa. Video Game Bang would like to, at this point, like to let everybody know we are a non-discriminatory
whatever
group of individuals.
Whatever. Video Game Bang, Weekend Bang is brought to you by NerdReactor.com. Remember, if you're a nerd and you like to react, might as well put a .com behind it.
Yeah, check the podcast section out.
We are there at the very top. While you're there, go and check out a review that I wrote for the Justice League Adventures Trapped in Time, and you might be able to save some money.
Yeah, spoiler
and some
alert.
Time.
Yeah. Aaron didn't like it.
While you're still perusing down the NerdReactor.com, check out the Judge Dredd Mega City 2 review that Corey Vincent's very own wrote.
This is my baby. This has been the most successful article I've ever done.
Yeah, it is taking off like hotcakes.
I got a retweet from the publisher.
Really?
Yeah, the artist started following me on Twitter. It's pretty cool.
I'll take the publisher.
Wow, if he's not listening.
Anyway,
I liked it. It was campy, but it was good.
Okay,
I wasn't expecting photorealism.
I was expecting. I'm sorry, we're in the year 2014.
I mean, you know, it was better than I could have drawn. So,
well, okay. Well, I'll take it. So, since we have the two new guys here, new-ish guys here, let's see what they've been up to. Noel Beltran. Since the last time you've been on the show, we've gone through a couple of changes.
He was on the
So what changes have
big
those
show?
Oh, we've started a weekend bang here.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean you haven't been on that. What else have we changed there, Corey?
Other than lifestyle changes.
What has changed in your life, Noel Beltran?
Nothing really, to be honest. It's all been the same.
Wow.
Thrilling. I don't have a girlfriend.
Most boring person in the world.
Moving right along then.
Things change? What?
Adam C., we've never seen you before. Give us a little little background.
I've never been invited. I didn't think I would actually get the e-vite.
Yeah, of course you would. Why not?
This was a pretty much on the fly kind of thing, actually.
I do nothing on the fly. How dare you?
For the most part, the show always, we choose the people the day of. So I felt bad because a couple other people thought they were going to be on there. And then Aaron said had a flipped script on me. And I said, well, you're telling them.
Oh, yeah. I never feared telling people.
I was just walking down the street and got pulled inside pretty much for the most part.
I told you at like 3:45 or something. So, give the viewers a little taste of your video game background.
I actually went to school to create video games and kind of dropped out of it, but I've been playing RPGs since I was probably 5 years old.
Wow. So, you're better than us or something? What is that?
3 years straight. Not even got didn't even get up to go to the bathroom.
Are you getting any of the new consoles that are coming out?
I'll be getting a PS4 and an Xbox.
He's a big shot.
What is motivated that decision?
I got to get Xbox just because I'm an Xbox guy, and I skipped the PS3 and had the PS2, so I missed too much on that. So I kind of just want to be able to expand and play everything.
I'm not trying to open Pandora's box, but are you going to get a Steam box?
Yes, I am.
Steam machine?
I got to get everything. I just got my new 65-inch TV. I'm not missing out on
Damn, this guy comes walking in his company shirt.
Showing off the world.
Salesman number one over here, talking about all the stuff. Oh, wow.
And he did not pick one of lines. He just said, I'm getting everything. Do I know how to pick them, right?
I've been out of the game too long. Got to get back in rough.
There it is. Well, today, you might want to brace yourself because it's all indie games, so we're not going mainstream, really.
Self-braced.
I don't bump mainstream. I rock underground.
Do you really? I mean, everybody else.
This is the hipster episode.
Well, honestly, all that other shit is sugar-coated and watered down.
Wow. Wow. That's terrible. We don't rap here on the Video Game Bang. But where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, all the big three really support the indie game community, from Nintendo to Microsoft.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Who doesn't?
Well, the current next gen isn't.
Yeah, they're not really up and going yet.
Cornucopia of choices.
And the PC is always showing indie games love.
Yeah.
I think it's like the Wild West when it comes to the PC and developing. You know, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
So I figured Gang Bang. I mean, we've interviewed a couple of people already with indie games, right?
Yeah, we have.
Do you remember their names?
Matt Gilgenbach.
Ooh, what
from,
game?
Neverending Nightmares.
Ooh, nice.
And Raphael Van Lierop from The Long Dark.
All right.
Shalong.
That's terrible. And now no one's buying his game. No one's buying his game.
You just
now.
Cost him his career. Good
he
work.
Can't. He can't make a hardened edition of that one.
He could.
The Long Dark. The Long Dark hardened edition.
I'd pre-order it. Just going on record now. All right. What do we let's do a quick round table. What do we believe indie game mean? Like, what do you think an indie game is? Not from just reading off your paper.
Well, did you write the definition for me? Just a spoiler, we do have papers in front of us.
No, actually, you don't have the definition. I have the definition on mine.
Indie music, it's music where there's not a giant label behind them.
Oh.
Independent.
Yeah.
I believe that's what it's short for.
Noel, could you give us an example of one indie game?
I got Risk of Rain.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. There's one that I've been looking at called Among the Sleep, which is a horror game that's going to be coming out.
That's with the baby, isn't it?
Yeah, that one game where it's like a child that can't really, it's a baby and his perception of reality is skewed, so he thinks stuff that is fake is real, and things that are real are fake.
Survival horror game with
a
baby
horror.
As the main character. Ridiculous.
First person, too. So,
yeah. Well,
according to Wikipedia, everybody, we like to educate here at Video Game Bank.
Wow.
An independent
game. We also love to be condescending.
Independent video games are video games created by individuals or small teams, generally without video game publishers' financial support. So, Corey, you were right on the money there.
Bam.
You know, right? I wanted to say that, but not so many words.
Oh.
That's kind of where
well,
I was
I'm
going.
Sorry. Wikipedia.
It's a podcast. Otherwise, this thing would be 3 minutes.
Exactly.
In and out.
Indie games don't have money.
They broke.
Show over.
Next week, we're going to be talking about Madden.
Exactly. There's an independent game festival coming up, I want to say, in the summertime. It's yearly, and they showcase all the indie games.
IndieCon?
Pretty much. It's actually an award show. They actually give out, not show, but, you know.
Award thing.
Yeah. They give out a little awards for the people that fly under the radars, not a radar, not your big names, you know, your Halos, and because everybody sees that.
Halo's not independent, right?
No.
Under our guidelines here? No?
No. Well, at this year's Indie Game Conference, or Federation or whatever, IGF, go to Google it. They're actually going to be showcasing some student work. You went to school for video game development, Lewis?
Yeah.
What was it like?
School. You know, it was a dark place. Nuns and everything.
Wow.
Nuns taught you how to play video games or taught you how to create video games?
So we're just talking about school in general.
No, okay. No. Video game developing school, Adam.
Yes, I took computer science, and they taught us how to pretty much write your own code and all that good stuff.
He said coding is the future, right?
Childish Gambino said that.
Yeah, he did.
I was gonna quote him actually.
Why did you?
My notes here.
Why did you stop that?
I actually was gonna go to the Air Force too. You want to talk about that too?
Here at Video Game Bang, we go deep.
You are diving deep into the new guys.
Deep into the lives.
Let's just Dr. Phil this. We're the real root of the problem.
How many episodes are we into? And he's never been on the show, so I'm trying to give a little background history for our viewers. Can't just step out to the plate and expect them to be like, "Oh, I know Adam."
It's listeners, by the way.
Listeners, viewers, they see me. You see me. I know you
see
me.
Didn't know the window was open on this one.
So
what happened? I kind of want to know too.
Yeah, see, not inquiring minds want to know.
Pretty much decided that I needed to work more instead of. I thought I would play more games before I would actually delve into creating games. Because I lacked a lot of, I lacked the imagination to create them, and I didn't have any of the artistry to kind of go along with that. So I thought if I met more people in my travels that had the interest and that had the mindset, because I already tried to create, make a few books already, different ideas from that, and try to turn those books into video games. So I have a bunch of ideas, but not really kind of the backing or
the tech savvy.
Pretty much.
Do you plan to go back to this indie game dream of yours?
Yes, actually, I was going to go, because I wanted to be in security, create security systems, or go into gaming, whichever one. So once I kind of get the job settled in, I'll go back to school and finish up and then do something with that. I'm in technology right now, you know.
He's wearing all the paraphernalia of a...
are we allowed to mention the company you work for?
I don't see why not.
I don't see you got the coolest CEO in the world.
Yeah, I mean, he'll just run in here anyway and high-five everybody.
Yeah.
His phone's for everybody. Starts throwing phones around.
Kicked out of AT&T parties.
Yeah.
We talked about that on the show.
Our guy here, Adam, he works for T-Mobile as a, sales manager?
I'm a full-time representative.
A full-time representative.
He sells phones, people.
So you have to wear the T-Mobile shirt everywhere?
Yeah, full-time.
Full-time on the clock?
By choice, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's an awesome company. I think they're taking over the world. But let's go back to indie games.
Thank you. We're going to swing this right back around. Now, like I was saying, at this this little showcase award, they're going to have student projects pretty much. So, like, you guys do student projects when you were in high school where they showcased them off to your parents?
No.
No.
Good Lord. School, did you?
I did.
Thank you, Adam. Heathens over here that never had anything.
That private school education.
So we had about, 10 of them here?
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, count them. All right. Anyway, first one, and we all just previously watched all the trailers for these games.
Yes.
And some were just breakout, standout, you know. You can Google any of these on, of course, Google. First one was On Gare. On Gare? Anybody want to give that a shot? The only description for this one says, On Gare is a game about movement of objects. That was the one with the weird-looking...
perspective.
They didn't really
explain
it.
Yeah,
I didn't get that.
So if you're listening right now, you're like, I have no idea what that is. We don't either.
They need to trade
just
names
looks like moving pictures.
With the people that did the one we'll get to in a sec.
Okay, the next one that was up for bat, Risk of Rain.
Well, Ungar didn't get really a fair shot here.
Well, how do we know what to give it if we don't know anything about it?
Well, the people who developed...
honest, they didn't really kind of go in depth.
Yes, it was just circles.
It was
more circles.
Ungar was developed by NHTV, University of Applied Science. I think they should stick to...
it seems like a bunch of, like, I don't know, photographers or something put it together. Not real.
And then had the nerve at the end to put 2014 coming at you.
I honestly think that was just their logo, and they skipped out on what the entire video was itself.
So the whole thing is just, like, 30 seconds long of circular designs being presented to you.
Oh, that's this one?
That's On Gare.
Oh,
which
yeah,
I didn't think we were talking about.
I thought we were talking about the perspective one.
No. We'll get there.
That one's
cool. We'll get there.
Okay, Ungar people, if you're listening, it looks stupid.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly.
I was going to try and defend you, but that's terrible.
Can we go to the next one? Because
yes,
the other one's
please.
Actually
I think
interesting.
We should talk about this for many hours.
The next game is Risk of Rain. Risk of Rain is an action platformer with roguelike elements with permadeath. I'm going to just call it permadeath. It's permanent death. So permanent death, people, if you don't know what it is, you die once in the game. Game over.
YOLO.
You never get to play again?
You never get to play again. The game the game self-destructs right after
that.
That
was a very misleading permadeath.
Then you have to go buy another copy.
You guys were kind of up on this one.
Yes. Yes. How are you not up on this one?
Well, I think it'll be really fun for like the eight people that master it and then get really far and put it up on YouTube.
But how do you master a game that constantly changes?
Well,
to be honest, there is no such thing.
It's going to be the same.
It looked like a game. Like if I had never played games before, I'd look at it and be like, "That looks like that was a good selling game way back when."
So, oh well, for people that can't see, it's an 8-bit graphic game. So the graphics are very old school. But
it's not even 8-bit. Was it 8-bit?
No, it wasn't 8-bit.
No.
What, 2-bit? I'm sorry. Everything was made out of four sprites.
Like 4x4.
It was like Atari looking.
Yeah, but
the concept itself.
Yeah.
Concept's good.
It was ahead of its time for what it looks like.
So if you slap some 3D textures on there and models.
Just kind of give some
game
swivel
of the year.
And it didn't make it 2D, you'd probably give it more credibility.
For the permadeath part to it, I could see you starting over and over and over again. I could spend many, many hours.
I could see frustration.
Maybe on my smartphone, or I'd play it maybe for 10 minutes. I wouldn't pay no more than $5 for it, though.
I'd probably put a couple days into that.
Said, with permadeath as a primary feature, fight on a mysterious planet with randomly spawning enemies and bosses.
10 different characters.
With over 100 items at your disposal, you'll need to find tools you need to find the teleporter back home. Discover a myriad of randomly chosen stages from a desolate, frozen forest tundra, and that's it. The description stopped. I was expecting 2A.
Yeah.
And stop. C.
Well, they showed that cave as well.
It kind of looked Contra-esque with the rolling.
Yeah, I can get that from the end of the different weapons that you see the hero or whatever using.
Yeah, I'm not going to slam it, but I don't think it's for me.
Made by the University of Washington.
Maybe you should play N'Gari.
Yeah. N'Gari, if you're listening, no.
Next is one that I know people will probably be excited for if it ever came to stores, Simitrain.
Oh, yes. This is my favorite.
Simitrain, I'm not even going to read the description. Pretty much what you are is a person touching left or right to a train. Yeah. You have to find out what's the difference between each side of the screen. That's the whole story.
That's it.
There.
Something happens to a family member.
No, that's what should have happened.
They could have gone a little in depth. But you got to remember, these are students building this. This is their first game, and they're, you know.
I bet that's one of those games that'll probably make you a little smarter after you play it for a while, though. Like
It was deceiving because you're actually watching people play the game at first.
Yeah, that was
deceiving. That's the trailer, you know.
In the trailer. So it's like top down.
It's like a little Inception for video gamers.
Am I awake when I'm playing this game? Or?
Is it me that's playing or them playing me?
Made by the University of Amsterdam, so they clearly were high the whole time.
Yeah. Smoking that sticky icky.
Next on the list, actually, I believe you can play this on AdultSwim.com, Westerado. Westerado is an action-adventure Westerado is an action-adventure detective western with a focus on narrative, great music, and fine-tuned pixels. Again, pixels. Is that taking you out of the game already, Adam?
Actually, to be honest, it looked like Gun from early 90s, to be completely honest.
The game has many paths for the cowboy to ride down and stories to explore, rewarding the player on multiple playthroughs as he searches for the murderer, made by HKU. I don't even know what Hard Knock
Hong Kong University.
They probably should have just called it Gun for Intellivision.
Hoboken.
That's actually spot on.
Yeah, that is actually right there.
Looks like Gun for Intellivision.
I was a little more interested in this one than Risk of Rain.
Why is that?
I don't know. I like the aspect of mystery, of trying to find the killer.
Talking to people around the town.
Yeah.
Shooting random people.
We got a clue man here, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to be Sherlock.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes.
Watch out for those bottles.
The 1800s Western cowboy with the spoon.
This one.
The spoon of all things.
He's killing people with spoons.
In the saloon.
Next one for us rhythm hungry people. There's Rhythm Doctor.
I liked it.
The hardest one-button rhythm game you'll ever play, made by the University of Cambridge.
I like how you're liking the underdogs.
Yeah. No, I really did like
really
that one.
Why is this one?
I play the drums.
Yeah,
I did see him fiddling while he was.
Were you trying to keep on
he was.
On rhythm with this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got nothing better to do with this time.
It feels like it could help me out, like put together some of those patterns. It could put.
It was completely like off key though. Like it wasn't even like you're trying to keep a rhythm. You're just like doot doot doot. It's like hot cross buns.
Yeah, you basically have to hit the same like was it dun, 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 dun. You basically have to hit it on the three every time, but there's different rhythms going on. There's different time signatures.
Isn't there a game called Guitar Hero out now that you can kind
of... You have to hit different rhythms on
Rock Band as well.
On the everything.
I'm pretty sure there's...
But those games are dead now. No more rhythm games are coming out like that. Not that I know of.
Well, I mean, they've still got better graphics than the games from the
set. Are you all about graphics? I mean...
What's about the graphics, bro?
I'm just saying.
Independent games won't have the best graphics.
I also don't like to press one button.
Yeah, that's true. Again, that game would be... perfect for an app. If they would just put that on an app, that would, for 99 cents.
I could probably play
millions.
That game
so
while playing three other games, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So the next game up is, where are we at?
I think
Foiled.
It was Foiled.
What's the name of Prince's percussionist? What's her name?
Princess Percussionist.
Prince.
I don't know what his percussionist's name. Why would
Sheila
I know that?
E. Sheila E. would slap you in the face. Right.
I like how this came after the fact that we were done talking about it.
I think we're on to Foiled now.
Foiled, a local two-player fighting game centered around soul theft and a simple yet deceptively deep dueling system. Think Smash Brothers meets Nidhogg?
Or fencing.
From people at NYU.
Now, was that more than a two-player game? Could you?
I didn't see. That? I just saw two players. And then on
and
the
it said local?
Yeah, the description says local two-player.
Do you have to share a keyboard?
Probably.
Nah, it's
okay. That's done.
I mean,
did it look like you had?
You guys are taking away from friendship.
Yeah, like wasn't it you that liked all the Wii U games that we played?
No, he liked.
But
the
I don't
want to
share a keyboard with you.
It looked like you had only like four functions anyway.
It's like an Xbox game where we both have to hold the controller at the same time.
But you just wanted to play a game where you press one button on a keyboard. And now you want the entire keyboard. Yourself.
Observation. That's what he is. Observational.
I don't like this.
I mean, especially with the parrying and everything, it actually looked like kind of...
The game looked really fun.
Yeah, I like that.
And so they said it was local.
It's actually pretty, with the parrying, it makes it deeper than just hit somebody and then go grab their soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually gives you a chance to defend yourself.
Yeah, I like it. It might be a winner for me.
Might be two buttons on this one.
Cyber Heist is the next game. Cyber Heist is a new vision of two-player co-op gameplay where neither player can succeed without the other.
And Aaron Boner in 3, 2, 1, go ahead.
Bang! Cyber Heist, if you guys haven't checked it out, check it out on YouTube. It literally is player one has their version of the game, and then player two is like in a first-person shooter, I guess, and your job is to navigate through this. It looked like a bank vault. It says survive by stealth and guile as the thief or play as the elite hacker as they work together to navigate past danger, access advanced security systems, and discover hidden secrets.
Yeah, it's two games in one.
Yeah.
And you're playing at the same time, influencing each other. It's awesome.
So you got like a hacker screen on one side, well, what they showed, and he was like clicking and opening doors and stuff like that. So he sees that he's opening things, but the first-person shooter person, who's, I guess, the thief, he's actually seeing the environment change for him in front of him.
Yep.
And they don't do that in games at all that I know of.
This is the first.
This is the first time.
That you know of.
That I know of.
Well...
That I know of, yes.
I will say I played Sniper Elite version 2, and they do have a co-op mode that is online where there is a sniper up in a high perch, and there is a first-person shooter that has to go around doing objectives while the sniper protects him and shoots
down
people.
Essentially you're both playing first-person
shooters. Yeah, we're still both playing first-person shooters, but that is the closest thing I can even think of.
I think we're talking about Splinter Cell here, co-op mode.
Why would that be two different games?
That's the same thing.
No, I mean,
thing.
Just two things where you rely on somebody else.
Oh, you're... Okay, yeah,
you
I see what you mean.
Further in the game without the help of another player.
Yes.
GTA 5 kind of did it in some of their missions where one person has to hack.
Yeah, and I wanted more of that in GTA.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like,
that's
cool. I hope, Rockstar, you guys are listening and you guys put that in there. I would definitely want more of that in the game.
But this brings us back to having to share one keyboard.
I don't think this one. I don't think this one doesn't say local. So hopefully they added some online.
Yeah, I don't know how local. Maybe if you're like if you could use your own computers. Maybe I'm just taking that term too closely.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And the last game on the list was Museum of Simulation.
Ah, this is the one I thought you were, Ngar.
No, it's definitely not. When taking a photo, have you ever used perspective to pretend a large object is distant, is resting in the palm of your hand? I broke that sentence up.
When you try to squash someone's head from a distance.
That's pretty much what this game is. Then you have experienced forced perspective. This is a puzzle game inspired by forced perspective. In this game, you use the ambiguity of perspective to resize and move objects at your will while you traverse the landscape of a mysterious museum made by Carnegie Mellon University Entertainment.
I get a lot of Portal feeling from this.
It does give off that vibe.
Because you're basically in a room, and you can just solve the puzzle to get to the door. That's always your objective, to get to the door.
Yeah, it kind of looked boring without that level 2, a puzzle showed up, and you're like, okay, wait, there's a point to this game.
That's what I was saying. It should be a puzzle game, and that's
In the beginning, they probably wanted you to play around with the perspective.
Like it was like a mini tutorial.
Yeah,
like,
so they had a giant Statue of Liberty, or a giant,
seemingly giant.
What was
it was a Statue of Liberty. And
the Eiffel Tower as well, yeah. Sorry.
You kind of looked and toward the chess Tower game, was and all also of a sudden it was a chess piece.
Yeah,
basically,
a chess piece and make a bigger...
You're standing in one spot. If it looks far away, you can grab it and then move it accordingly. But the item always stays the same size, but just depends on where your focus is.
Yeah, and whenever you fast forward through the video, you see more that this has a puzzle aspect to it. To get from point A to point B, you might have to resize blocks.
I could see it being pretty in-depth, actually, going through.
So, with all these games, I mean, innovation is the big key for indie games because they are not shackled down by big companies telling you, hey, we need a blockbuster Mario or Sonic or something to sell to everybody. So they get more freedom, of course, to what they do. Which game out of all these that we just recently discussed do you think shows the most potential for innovation?
Open Floor?
Yeah, Open Floor. Let's see who's got something. Who's thinking about
We're
something?
We're talking about purely
innovative.
Innovation? Damn.
I mean, the very first thing Noel said when we started this conversation was Risk of Rain.
Yeah,
I think Risk of Rain.
I think it's Ngar, honestly.
Yeah, sure.
As long as I can use one keyboard for five people. Right.
Ngar is definitely innovative in the fact that it's a new way to be bored playing video games.
Cyber Heist.
Nobody cares about that one.
I'm going to kind of take Foiled on this one because just because I liked... Smash Bros. So much. This game kind of just has like an older feel to it with kind of a different twist on it. But it still gives you kind of that competitive edge where you can block and parry, and even if your opponent takes your soul, you still have time to stop them from returning it to the base and everything. So it's kind of an offensive, defensive little bit of strategy.
I'm going to go Cyber Heist.
Cyber Heist?
Yeah, if we're talking about innovation, I just hope that game is really popular and more people start doing it.
Stuff like it or just that
game? Yeah, I don't know if that's the one, but I hope that's the one that brings attention, that's a desired genre to have out there, the co-op where they're two separate games helping each other.
Oh.
I think it could be done better, but...
Well, it's all indie right now.
Oh, well, then do it.
Maybe I will.
So I'm guessing you're going Risk of Rain, Noel?
No, I'm going Cyber Heist.
Wow.
Yay!
Of course, as you know, since we've been playing games together for a long time, I would say that the co-op aspect is something that I'm very fond of. And that style of co-op is really cool. And I would definitely love to do it a lot more because it plays to two different players' strengths. If somebody isn't as good at RTSs while the other one isn't as good at shooters, they can switch around and still find a way to play
a different game.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going with Cyber Heist as well. I'm co-op all the way, you know, every day. So that's 3-1. Sorry.
All day,
Adam.
Every day.
Like
Adam, you lost.
I like to play with myself.
Adam lost the game. Thanks for stopping by the podcast. Yeah.
He said, there's the door.
You guys can all play on your one keyboard together.
Well, after the intermission, everybody, we will continue on this ride of Indie Game Day. This is Aaron Carter saying please stick around because you need to.
What's up, pizzas? Corey here with the Video Game Bang Podcast. Just reminding you, check us out on nerdreactor.com and check out all the other things at Nerd Reactor. They're constantly updating with the great nerd stories on the Facebook, on the Twitter, and on nerdreactor.com. Check it out.
thanks for sticking around. I know you probably had to go to the bathroom while you were waiting on us.
That was a quick dump, because usually our breaks are like 30
had
seconds.
Fire it out real fast.
Spelunky.
The Weekend Bang is still working on indie games, everybody, and there is no indie game right now on the PC, at least, that's bigger than League of Legends, which we actually got to spend some intimate time with today, right?
Yes, I want to see what your thoughts are.
Well, you guys fondled something.
We fondled a little low. Yeah. Is that what you guys want to call it? Now, I have gone on record before saying that I did not like this game, simply because of the controls. And that was before.
I think it's because of the lack of controls, I think is what you're talking
about. I didn't even play the game before I, you know, went and judged it.
Judgment, yeah.
But I did play Dota years ago. So if you guys said it was the same thing, essentially, then the controls were the same, correct?
For the most part.
Then I win. So,
but if you're not good at it, I understand how you would not want to play it.
So we finally broke down. Me and Corey downloaded it on our respective PCs.
Is that what that is?
my PC is rather old, so I had to turn the graphics down. You know, but it still worked. You know, no chug. Went a smooth 22 frames. Yeah. Per second.
He held a steady 22 to his credit.
I think I heard it taking a nap.
And we got into it. My first impressions were actually positive ones. The game is actually fun. I don't know why it's not on different platforms, so I can use a controller, but the game is actually really fun. What did you think, Corey?
I have to agree. The game was... I could see why people can get so addicted to it. And it was cool having actual teachers
in
the room.
If nobody knows, Adam and Noel are avid League of Legends game players.
One better than the other.
Wow.
We won't name names, not Noel.
Noel's life has been changed by this game. He is thoroughly enthralled. He watches video competitions of it, and
you're welcome.
His skin color
has gone like a few hues whiter.
Yeah.
Imagine, there
are how many characters in this game?
How many champions?
Champions.
Yeah, come on,
characters,
asshole.
I mean, there's several billion people that play this game. But
wow.
I mean, champions, but I'd say there's about 100.
120, like, six, I think it is right
and
now.
And Noel has named...
bought every single one of them.
I have.
He has
and
spent
a skin for each person.
Now, this game is a MOBA, which is a... what does MOBA stand for?
Multiplayer...
Online battle arena. There we go. And I mean, there's plenty of them out there right now, but for some reason, League of Legends seems to be the top notch, even out beating Dota at sometimes.
To be honest, I've met a lot of people who've come from Dota, and all they do is talk smack about the game, but you see them on League of Legends all the time. So they may say they favor Dota, but they're still playing League like every day.
This game has taken it's got its own vocabulary. Like when Adam and Noel start really talking about the game, I get so lost.
It's like they're speaking Chinese.
Creeps, farm, ADC.
Yeah.
We started
playing the game 2 days ago. I started playing
Aaron
the game
did.
Two
I've only started, well, I only started a couple
don't
hours.
Back ago. Out like you
I
like something bad or something like that.
I want to distance myself. I don't know where you're going.
Throw him into the
I wasn't going. I didn't start 2 days ago.
Yeah. I know you are a fireball of like.
I have a full 48
internet
hours
rage.
I started playing the game 48 hours ago, solo, by myself.
Okay, yep, all by himself.
And I was playing with Noel teaching me at the time. And so Noel, as if I had played the game for years, he was like, hell, Aaron, you're going to take bot, and then what did he say, Autobot?
I don't know.
Rollout.
Take bot.
He was like,
bot.
Yeah, he said,
The technical term is bot in the game, but I was referring to go to
also
the bottom lane.
Bottom.
Yeah. So I was like, why didn't you just say bottom of
it's
the screen?
It's confusing to me because we were playing against bots at the time.
To be completely honest, you're playing bots.
Yeah.
Like, hey, play bot. I am playing bots.
So you want to put it on autopilot?
Oh, no. You said go bot. And I was like, that is the poor man's version of Transformers. I have no idea what you're talking about. We're playing bots, yeah, so it's very confusing, and it just seems lazy.
Sorry, it's just something I'm used to.
You go bot against bots using pots.
One thing I like about the game is when everyone talks about it, they immediately talked about the ranking system and playing in ranked, which is, of course, human versus human.
Mm-hmm.
But when you very first start out in the game, you start playing against AI, and no one ever mentions that part. They just go straight into, oh, yeah, you're going to be playing 5v5, some of the toughest playing you're ever going to play, and then you forget all about when I started playing this game, I played
bots.
I don't know how many hours of nothing but bots. Like, yeah. I was too afraid to play any person.
I'm two days in, and I haven't played one single other person whole time.
Well, in retrospect, it would have to be you guys playing, because the way that League kind of works is it will equal out my level or his level to your guys' level and match you with that.
You can always just create a new.
So if we play the game, all those, like, I guess, starting buffs or whatever that you had, they would go away or something?
And masteries. If I made a whole new character, it'd be gone, yeah.
No, I'm saying if you play with us versus other people.
No, I have.
If I were to play with you on my Gold 5 account, I would have all my runes, all my masteries, which just buff up my level 1, whereas your level 1 would just be like...
There.
So as we're playing, our initial teacher, Noel, here, is just ripping through other... champions.
That's how you know he's bad, because he's like, I'm gonna rip these bots apart. Like,
I was just like having real fun. People.
Steel killing, but yeah, like, kill stealing.
Well,
everything.
So we're just... well, towards the end, I will have to say, as soon as Adam showed up, Adam was teaching Aaron, and I was helping Corey, and
he was quite a bit better than Aaron.
Hold on.
In retrospect, I will say Corey was.
I'm sorry when your teacher berates you every single day. What are you doing? What do you have that for?
First of all, my God.
I was teaching
Aaron by explaining, and Noel was teaching by getting fingerprints all over
him. Yeah, I know. Hey, I finally had to say something.
But were you not playing better than Aaron?
Well, I'm just a better gamer than Aaron.
Well, that's a falsehood.
In hindsight, he has all his keys. So, I mean,
that gives me
money. And somewhere in that pile of dirt that is my laptop.
People, literally, there is dirt on this man's keyboard.
I'm missing a W.
He found this laptop in a trash can.
He unburied it in the Savannah Desert.
I will league this day.
Oh, God. Okay. Aaron is turning purple. I didn't think that was possible.
Oh my God! You can't do that.
At least
that's terrible.
At least when you were playing, I said, "Hey, press R." Oh wait, it's not there. Press the other button.
Well, I had to remap.
You happened to have on your keyboard.
I had to remap all my buttons because my controller or my keyboard is unique.
That's what it is. Damn peasant!
It's very unique. I plan on getting a new laptop.
Finding.
As soon as I, you know, get up the funds, I gotta, you know, move a couple of more packages.
Locate a stolen.
But back to the actual
League of Legends. Okay,
I will say that I have found a suitable, soon to be replacement. As soon as I get used to the controls, which is Smite.
Why is that? Why is this though?
Smite is same style MOBA. It has different styles of play with different arenas. It has gods from every major civilization that there was. It is 3D behind the back view, all skill shots. So there is no point and click for attacking. You actually have to be able to aim your shots and everything.
For non-rapist purposes, can we say over the shoulder instead of behind the back?
I'm sorry, over the shoulder, behind the back.
I didn't even catch that. Good catch, Adam.
Well, clearly SVU Adam over here is looking for anything that has to do with the rape. Apparently, but can we wait? Hold on. Let me ask a question, because one of the points you pointed out about what was the name again?
Smite.
Is that it has multiple levels. Why is League of Legends, that's been out since 2009, still only have one level for its major game
map.
Type? Excuse me, one map for its major game mode. Silence.
Couldn't even tell you, yeah.
Silence.
I cannot tell you.
I understand
you.
It's an indie game, but
to be honest, it's
moved on past indie.
When you get to a higher kind of...
consciousness?
When you become one being. When you get to a ranked level of play... You need to learn the map and all of its ins and outs. You need to know how fast you can make it through here, how fast it, because there's one character on each 5-person team that is a jungle, and it's your responsibility to navigate through the jungle, both enemy and your own, to either kill the creeps so you can get gold and get experience, make it through another lane so you can gank them and help the other lane out. You need to know the ins and outs, not only of the map itself, but of the character you're using and kind of your time that you can make it through. So if you were to change that map or play on a different map, you're giving other people an edge or taking away someone's edge by changing that up.
Kind of seems like you would be leveling the playing field.
By having one map, you have everybody has the same amount of time and
preparation.
Oh, you're saying one champion would be better suited for another map than maybe another champion.
Because
there's
a lot of champions right now. Obviously, there has their own meta for whatever season and whatnot. But each one has their own clear times, and one who has, let's say, a faster clear time on this foot map, obviously somebody would just prone to play this one character on this one map because their clear time would be so much better, is where you can make every character try to kind of shift them all to be good on this map. So
that's interesting. That's an interesting...
Well, in a higher rate of play, you kind of only see the same characters so often. That's why they nerf some characters. That's why you see some more. But you always have those some people that play a character that nobody ever expects, mm-hmm. and then they do well because everyone's just like, why would I play them? They're not meta right now. And then you start to see the meta shift into a couple of different characters that you wouldn't normally play. Some get banned that you didn't think were possible. Like, one character I never thought would be good any time ever is Poppy. And she's this one character that I thought is just god-awful, and then all of a sudden I'm seeing her wrecking people, like, broken. 1v3.
She, well, in retrospect, she has a broken ultimate, but...
Yeah, but you can give it to a person who has no idea what they're doing, and that's a terrible, terrible pick.
You know how I know this is a good game? It's because, like, we're sitting here talking, and I'm like... A few times in this podcast, I've thought, after these guys leave, I think I'm going to play. I want to play a little bit more.
Well, it seems like that's a good idea. They don't implement and on also, any other games with this whole single map so that everybody is kind of...
And then also, another thing I've noticed is everybody... There's always roles associated, like Adam is a mid-lane player, so it's a solo lane, and it's the shortest lane in the game. And he has to learn, as the jungle said, he has to learn... which side people are going to be coming in from, which side he's going to be going to gank.
You have twice. If you play top lane or bottom lane, you can only be ganked kind of from one direction, whereas your mid, you have kind of 4 to 6 different lanes places you can be.
Different gank paths where he can get taken out.
So they call him a mid?
Mid laner, yes.
So I hide in bushes. Would I be a...
Yes, he did.
Would I be a bush?
Actually, he'd either bush be baby. A good jungle or a good Rengar top lane. And just sit in the bush attack.
I'm so lost all over.
I don't even know what a Rengar...
There's a
sounds anti-Semitic.
Rengar, that if he's in a bush, if he auto-attacks a character and he's within attack range, he jumps on them. So you can go in the bush, attack. Go in the bush, jump.
Going in the bush.
And that's
and attacking.
Going in the bush.
But yeah, that's they do have a couple other maps. Dominion has a whole new map.
But they're game type modes, right?
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Different game
we're talking
type
about
mode.
The classic.
Yeah, classic. That's what I was.
In terms of the map idea, Dominion also has some jungle camps, and so does the Twisted Tree Line, which is their 3v3. And
there's ARAM.
Oh, yeah, and there's ARAM. What,
what's ARAM? We didn't see ARAM.
All random, all mid.
All random, all mid. So you don't get to pick your character. No one does.
Okay.
You can switch characters with people, but it's just one lane.
It's that tutorial?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So it's literally you're all sitting by towers trying to fight. In my opinion, if you're a ranged character, you're going
to
win.
Yeah, there's no way to back, so you can't back, and you only go back when you die. Yeah. And, I mean, there's people that don't die, that won't die, and they will just have all that gold.
So why did the classic just become the most popular? Was it because it was out the longest, or?
Well, beta, the Twisted Tree Line, technically, every time I click on it, I don't know if it's still there, it was still in beta testing. Mm-hmm. And then Dominion is honestly really boring. I mean, it's fun to a point if you use the right characters.
For your Call of Duty fans, it's just domination, right?
Yes, it's domination, okay. Conquest for Battlefield players. Mm-hmm. It's the same exact theory, but besides, it is a very boring style of play. The classic map mode is extremely fun.
Classic's just exciting.
Yeah, you don't never know what's going to happen. You can see the same setup of champions every time, but the
different game.
The style of play from every player is always going to
You can
show.
Play the same character, same lane, 20 games in a row, and it's going to be a different outcome every single time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we never really touched about this on this game, you know, on the show at all, you know. And
good
input. It's a huge... It's a huge, huge game on the internet, and
people
have tournaments, and they have, like, professional leagues where they make crazy amount of money for this stuff.
The team that wins the
World Championship,
WCS, gets $2 million.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, they're making
think about
professions out of this.
That's just for them winning. Think about their
sponsorships.
Sponsors, yeah.
Then they're also...
Their house for their team to live in is sponsored. All they do is play blind pick games. All day.
Blind pigs because I don't.
Blind pick.
Oh, blind pick. Oh, so they just randomly pick somebody.
You don't ban characters. You don't get to see what the other team picks. You only get to see what your team picks.
Yeah. So you just don't know what you're dealing with.
Draft,
there's no way to.
There's draft
counter
and blind.
Nothing.
Blind is where you don't get to see what your enemy team picks, and you kind of have to be lucky to get the lane you want. Blind or draft pick is where you get to see what your team picks. You get to ban three. Each team gets to ban three characters, so the other team doesn't get to
champions. 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 Thank you.
God, there, are come on. There are millions, millions of characters.
Yeah. There's only hundreds of champions.
They just turned it around on
I
you
knew
so
that was
going to
bite me in the ass.
Face.
Okay, you both jumped on it.
Hive mind.
You just got owned by noobs, sir.
Summoners, I mean. And you get to, it's in order. So if your first pick, no matter if anybody gets to calls a lane before you, your first pick. Sorry, I get whatever lane I want.
Huh. But why couldn't you just run over there anyway?
Yeah.
You could, but then you're either going to get reported after the game.
Oh, my god!
They'll report you?
You get. Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
If you get nine other people to report you, like it's actually going to take effect.
Yeah. Wow. There's actually
if every game, every person in that game hated you and they're going to report you, you get to, you can get banned. You can get.
For picking the wrong lane.
Well, no. It's when
got,
people do that, they're general
like 3 days
at the same time.
You got suspended for 3 days?
Yeah. If you, like, if you, there was a point in time if you left a game, like.
Oh, well, yeah.
Lot,
I mean, that's a lot with
yeah,
a lot of games.
Same thing
yeah.
with getting banned. Because you can actually put a note in there, or getting reported. You can put a note in there and say, oh, this guy was very offensive. This guy left the game. This guy got disconnected. Whatever you want.
So. There's actually a tribunal.
There's a tribunal.
If you played with some of these people, you would want a tribunal.
Yeah, the cool thing is, it's player run. Only level 30s are allowed to actually look at the cases of people that have been banned multiple times through multiple games. They have the full chat log. Why people have reported them. You get to read through everything, and you get to pretty much choose whether you want to. You know, give them a pass, or if you want them to, you know, be indicted for what they did.
It's very. It seems like it's
I
very
can see
policed.
That power going to people's head.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, why for this game instead of other games like, you know, Grand Theft Auto, you know, where I got put in the dunce cap for blowing up other people's cars.
Yeah,
and stuff
that's
like
true.
That.
To give you a, very,
I would like to talk to a tribunal.
Very good kind of situation. It is 5v5. You wait 5 minutes to get into this game. You wait another couple minutes just for the game to get started. Let's just say you start the game 5v5 and somebody has already been disconnected. Now you're playing a 4v5. You were put at a huge disadvantage.
And then you have to play 20 minutes before you even get an option to surrender.
You cannot
so you
surrender
have to
until
waste
20 minutes.
20 minutes of your time. If you know you're going to lose, you have to waste 20 minutes of your time just to end the game.
And
by your
say,
own choice.
Wow. Let's say after 15 minutes, this guy finally joins the game back in. So you're level 12 and he's level 1. He joins the game, goes out to fight, and he just gets killed 10 times in a row. So not only did he put you guys at a disadvantage by not being there, then he's feeding one person in particular, putting that person just so far ahead of everybody else that the game is just unenjoyable.
Yeah, the game doesn't
it.
Take into account that he lost time. He's still worth the same amount of gold as a person that played the game.
Wow.
So, yeah, so if I played and you killed, if I played and I came in late and you killed me 5 times, I'm worth the same amount of gold he would have been at the same level.
But that's common knowledge between everybody, right? Like, everybody knows.
They don't care.
Okay, so then why not a patch so far for that? Like,
they try to patch the gold part.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
To where it's always been there. Like, if you get killed multiple times, the more deaths you have in a streak, the less you're worth. But in the newest patch, they also a certain amount of assists will equal out to a kill. So if you just sit there and, you know, buff somebody or throw or hit one person that gets killed, it goes towards an assist streak. Because they did that to make supports a lot more powerful. And if they get killed, they're worth more money. Even if they're 0-15 and 12, those 12 a certain amount of those 12 kills will assist will equal out to a kill, which will make him worth money again.
On the other side of the spectrum, I've seen plenty of 4v5 games where the 5 was at such a disadvantage because the 4 people on the other team were so good, and the 5 had a couple people that were just awful. So they could just completely take advantage of it.
You used to have that a lot in Halo. There were some times where you'd get in a match where everybody would drop out and be 1v6 or whatever the situation was, and you could still win if you're strategic.
Yeah. It always has
a... Yeah, that's one thing, too. If a good team, if it's a 4v5 and they have a feeling they can win, or if they are far ahead in one point of the lane, of one of the lanes that will completely change the outcome of a game, as long as they're strategic about their plays, the objectives that they pick up, everything, they can still turn it around. But sometimes there aren't players that good.
It doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because you can be an amazing 4 team. You're at the brink of beating this 5 team down, and they just...
They have that 5th player.
They just grab it. They grab it from you, and you know you guys deserved it. So at the end of the game, the person who left, you're going to not only tell your team to report them, but you're going to tell the other team to report them. And then that person's going to log back on and see, oh, sorry, you've been reported for.
And they go in front of the tribunal.
I hate that crap. I see that stuff in forums all the time, too.
People on the internet are very passionate about things.
You can be playing a one-hour game and be losing the entire time.
And then one person leaves.
All that rage built up inside.
it's bad.
Like you said, I mean, they even show it whenever you select Classic. It's the game time is usually between 25 and 35 minutes.
Yeah.
So you know you're going to be spending a good amount of time on this. And then, I mean, as he said, there's been hour-long games. There's been hour-plus-long games. So you're putting in all this time, all this effort, you know, just exhausting yourself in terms of the skills that you have in this game for one person to leave and just instantly you lost.
I'm sticking with bots.
Eventually I would want to graduate onto playing against another player and everything like that. But I think I would want a team of people that I know.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much better playing. Like if you play, you can always obviously duo play with maybe three people, but playing with five people, it's just if the communication's there and the trust and kind of.
I really want to play right now.
Like, yeah,
want to cut this bad boy short?
The game is pretty deep, and it's free, everybody, if you're out there. Riot Games put out a very good game for free, and they make their money by selling skins buying characters. You can buy the in
game.
It's definitely worth it because I know even with all the games I had on my Xbox, they still, just knowing that every time I log on to League and play a game, it's never going to be the same game I played the day before.
And I'm wondering, why don't these games successfully cross over to the consoles? Why do you think that?
To be honest, I was thinking about you playing this game because I know you're all big.
You want the controller
to play and everything. And I was trying to think of a way to be able to play this game with a controller, and I actually thought it would be pretty.
Well, I've seen ways.
It'd be pretty badass.
Yeah, I've researched ways. Well, they have a program.
If everything's hotkeyed,
oh yeah,
then it's going to be ridiculous. I mean, moving just like normal with the stick and everything, and then all your abilities with the BAX, all that good stuff. I thought it'd be pretty interesting. I could see it maybe in the future, but I think just the format of the computer just being able to.
Right now works too well.
It's already been 4 years. Well, excuse me, it's 2014, isn't it? It's already been 5 years.
Well, I mean, putting Minecraft on the. On the console, didn't that lower the amount of people you can have in a?
Yeah, it lowered a bunch of crap. It was the dumbest thing ever.
He hates it. But what
it did, it
streamlined. Okay, we get it.
Hate it.
Can you translate that for me? I can't understand what he's saying.
What he's saying, he.
What is it in Spanish, Noel?
Thoroughly dislike the game.
Lo odias.
Lo odias. I lo odias this.
How do you say no in Spanish?
No.
But it streamlined. That's what it did when it went from computer to console.
That's a nice word.
One thing I can see is there's 10 different people in each game. There's 10 different latencies, 10 different internet speeds, and this game finds a way to work for everything.
Well, they have a console. MOBA. They already have a MOBA on the Xbox 360.
Did you say 10 characters or 10 champions?
10 champions. Actually, I said players. I did not say champions.
We're only using two words for this.
Summoners.
Can we not throw in
Summoners? There you go.
There's a MOBA on the Xbox 360 that surrounds by the Lord of the Rings, and I haven't got to play that one.
I've heard
that
it leaves a lot to be desired.
What about Happy Wars?
Happy Wars is a MOBA as well, but it's not in the same vein as like a League of Legends.
Nowhere near.
Yeah, there's no minions, you know, and then everything.
Might as well say, why isn't World of Warcraft on the Xbox?
They do Diablo.
Yeah.
I was playing this as a cynical bastard, and even I was like tempted to purchase a character.
I could see it.
I almost have every single character in the game. I know for a fact Noel's missing like two or three.
One. One that I just refuse to pick up.
Why don't you just get him just to get him then? You probably have the money to.
Okay, well,
I hate Zillion so much.
I'm
useless character.
I'm sticking with Master.
I just want to. I like having every single. I think if you go on a pro level, you automatically get an account that has everything.
Pro level players, they get accounts of every champion.
What's keeping you guys from that?
I
know Noel what's keeping Noel away, but Adam seems to know what he's doing.
Well, Challenger 1, which is the highest
best diamond
tier is that you can be. There's only 50 players allowed per server in that tier of player.
And Noel can't even get to gold.
Wow.
You bastard.
So how far is it from gold to diamond?
It's bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond, challenger.
And then each division has five tiers that you got to get past.
from gold, for like bronze 5 to bronze 1.
Damn.
Yeah.
Like so it takes 7 layers of hell.
I know, right?
To be honest, where
I'm at to bronze 5 is considered Elo hell, cuz you have to play with players from both silver and bronze, and you have to deal with very bad players.
Where are you at, Adam?
I'm gold 5.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm silver 4.
I got placed in gold 5.
I think I'm leather 2.
Yeah.
Actually,
I'm rock.
The joke is wood.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm wood 7.
Hey, but I mean, it's a very deep game, and I'm surprisingly happy with it.
Go pick it up.
Go pick it up from your local internet.
To be honest, playing with four of your good friends is just a good way to just get better, pass the time, have a
sometimes
lot of fun.
Ruin friendships.
Sometimes ruin friendships if you're as bad as Noel is.
How dare you, bastard!
Wow. You know, this is from two sources: Adam and Jada, our other co-host person. Both say Noel sucks.
He doesn't suck. It's just that
he sucks.
I make stupid, rash decisions.
Wait, is this why you wanted to play with us so you can just look like Boss Hog?
Yeah,
I killed everything.
Before Adam got here, he was pretty high on the horse.
This is the guy that plays bots and says, I am going to beat the mess out of every single computer I see today.
Well, no. I was playing with you guys just to play with you guys.
It was fun.
Just to play. I just wanted to play for fun. I wasn't. Whenever I play ranked, I turn around and actually.
Well, doesn't know the meaning of the
serious.
Word fun.
He got a little chubby every time it said legendary.
Oh yeah,
legendary.
Like we played one time where it had like the whole sidebar filled with legendary, and all from his name and everything. And he was just like,
hey,
"You
I
see
was,
that?
Hey, I was trying
Noel,
to get
can you
kills.
Teach me this game? No, I just want to kill bots. Exactly.
I was trying to get you kills, even if you weren't. I would just sit there like walking next to the enemy, waiting for Aaron to try to do something.
All right, what are we doing good on time over here?
Well, we got about 30 minutes.
All right, well, we got some indie game news.
When playing League of Legends.
We're going to shoot. It's not nothing big. Here's the weirdest one. King trademarks Candy and Saga. They
That was just phrased poorly.
Yeah, that sure was. Excuse me.
Yeah, you want another shot at
that one more right. time?
3, 2, 1. I'll edit this out. Go ahead.
The developer, King, who made the game Candy Crush Saga, has trademarked the name Candy and Saga.
Yeah, so they trademarked words.
So I can't name my children Saga Candy.
No, you cannot. Candy Crush Saga creator trademarked those names. This directly impacts Stoic Games' Banner Saga, to which King filed an opposition to Stoic's trademark request. There's a game called Banner File, or excuse me, Banner File.
Obviously not affected by this.
It's the sequel
Saga.
To Pedophile.
A game called Banner Saga.
That's Hulk Hogan's.
Made by Stoic. And they're all in this. Like, King has some balls. Go first of all, just by trademarking the name Candy. Like,
is Willy Wonka affected?
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many things that have the word candy, and so it's like. He just went. The game developers just went out and did that, and then the saga was just kind of like, "We're gonna kick you in the balls, Banner Saga."
Yeah, right.
So you can't name your game that anymore.
Salt on the wound,
and it's just weird.
This is what I heard. I read a story on that King kind of defending why they did it, and they basically said that there are a lot of, you know, those games that you see on the side, little advertisement, they have a really slutty girl on it. It's like, only men play this game. It's called Boner Killer.
Which game is that, by the way?
Yeah. So do you have a link?
Yeah, I'll send you a link. But it always says, warning, 18 plus. Like, there's a lot of those games that are like phishing, kind of like spam games, and they will try and use like Saga or put Candy in the name to try and siphon off people who don't know any better.
Can't tell if we're talking about games or porn anymore.
A little of both. Welcome to Video Game Bang.
It's called Gorn.
It'll say Cotton Candy Saga, or, you know,
still
Cotton wait, Candy
something
Smash.
Retarded like
still
that.
Waiting for the link.
I guess it's to cover their tail with that way, but
and then
the
they said with
there?
Saga, they said the Banner Saga is just kind of a casualty of war. They had to do it to prove a point.
You mean Banner File?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the new name.
Hey,
gonna
if they want to take it, I want some of those residuals.
The Banner Files.
Yeah, I think King's going to take file next, and it's all going to be done.
Yeah, then you'll know
all your
Candy Crush
has.
The guy from Stoic, like, stole his girlfriend.
Wow. I trademarked her first.
Yeah. So it's like a defense thing. But poor Banner Saga got caught up in the world.
The indie people fighting over stuff. Wow, that's terrible.
Well, is King still indie?
Yeah.
Really?
We'll
sorry,
get to that.
That game's made
we will
a
get
lot
to that.
More money than
we would
some
definitely
other games
get to who's indie and who's not.
When are you guys
going
to purchase the rights to a video game? I mean,
damn.
You should get in on that.
It's pending.
Yeah. I even
Judge
went on.
Judy?
I said we should trademark.
Bang.
Oh.
Then the money just keeps rolling in. The money
like,
just keeps rolling
like
in.
Gene Simmons with a bag of cash. Just get in on that.
If you're excited for Shovel Knight, it's finally got a release date, March 31st. It's set to be released on plenty of Wii systems, like the Wii U and I think the marketplace on the regular Wii.
Does that come out the same time as N'Gari?
Actually, it comes out 2 days after N'Gari. And it's going to be on Steam. It takes you back to the 8-bit action. So I guess you're already out of it, right, Adam?
No, if it's not too bad or better, I'm not.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
We're going to find out that N'Gari was made in the honor of some person who died in a car crash with a mental disability.
We're going to feel like shit.
Thoroughly ruined
if
his.
If we're saying it right, because
the
it's
money's
like enraged with the G and R backwards.
The money's going to be used to neuter stray animals or something. I don't know.
Wow.
I think you're getting mixed up with The Price is Right.
Yeah, Bob Barker's game.
Shovel Knight
project.
Shovel Knight was a Kickstarter project whose original goal was $75,000, but they actually reached over that at $311,000 to make this 8-bit game.
Made that yesterday.
Are you guys? This game better be the most in-depth game I have ever
seen. Is it
9-bit? No. They can't afford that.
I don't play 8-bit.
You got to have $1 million to go 8-bit. These Kickstarter games, there's a lot of indie games that are doing Kickstarter. I mean, it's the best way to, I guess, get money since you don't have a major publisher.
The people we've interviewed so far have all been Kickstarter.
Yeah, successful Kickstarters,
yeah,
by the way.
Even the composer, the game he's working on, that was a Kickstarter program.
Yeah, I like when the indie people do this. I've said it a million times. I don't like when Shigeru Miyamoto comes on. I want to make another Mario game.
Say his name again for me real quick.
Shigeru Miyamoto. There it is.
Did he always got through that.
He's a champion.
Mi amorta, didi.
He's a champion in League of Legends.
Arigato, didi.
So, I mean, they use that, and I can't stand when big boys use that because they're not indie anymore. You know, they're major developers. I don't even think, do we have a name for the opposite of an indie developer?
Mainstream? Big box?
I think you said a big boy.
Big boy?
Okay, big boy. We'll go in.
Big boy. I think that's
you're a big boy. So
for Nintendo, you're a big boy.
Major, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, indie developers usually make that leap. Riot game hasn't yet because they've stuck with this one game, League of Legends, that is, and they haven't made really anything else. I guess you can still say they're indie, but there's a couple of developers that started off as indie and now they're big boy, for lack of a better term. We have Gearbox, who started off making kind of expansions for Half-Life. They started with Half-Life Opposing Force, if you remember back in the 90s. And now they're doing things like Borderlands and
Borderlands 2.
Yeah, Borderlands 2. And then, you know,
I'm sure they'll
teamed
do Borderlands
up with,
dare I say 3?
Yeah.
And Alien
Border Worlds.
Colonial Marines, which was a terrible, terrible game. What I'm trying to get at kind of is indie games start off as trying to be innovative. Do you think that they lose their innovations when they turn into big boys?
Well, look at Borderlands. Gearbox is a good example. Like, they started with original Borderlands was freaking sweet, but then they came up with this business model where they put the games out and then do the big season pass thing, and the game is never complete. So you end up spending over $100 if you really want to experience Borderlands 2.
Yeah, but that's not really, and I mean, Borderlands 1 wasn't really indie. By this time, they had made Brothers in Arms, which was an indie game, and they had kind of made a name for themselves.
Yeah, I feel like a company like Gearbox might have maybe lost their
spark.
Yeah.
What about, who else do we have on here? We had Valve. They started off with Half-Life, of course. That was just a huge success. And Team Fortress Classic.
Dota.
Now they have, Dota 2, which I heard didn't do that well, right?
As far as I'm concerned, that's why everyone's onto the low.
Portal.
And then Left 4 Dead series and Portal, yeah. I mean,
I like Valve. I think of this list,
Can we
Valve
just,
is my number one.
Can we skip ahead to Telltale here and say that they, They started off with Texas Hold'em and just stepped it up with Poker Night 2 there.
Yeah.
Talk about just crossing realms.
They also did CSI. Three Dimensions of Murder.
I mean, they went with Grissom CSI all the way over to The Walking Dead of the second season.
While I was making this list, though, actually, I noticed about Telltale Games, like 90% of their games are episodic.
Yeah.
Like Zootite.
They didn't change up their format at all. They wanted like 5 episodes. Like, there's 5 episodes of this CSI game.
Really?
That's ridiculous. Why would I want to bite
because
through
it's
5
CSI,
episodes?
CSI, Three Dimensions of Murder. I mean,
so we have to have 5 episodes to find out about the three dimensions of murder?
It's called expansion.
Okay. I'm sorry. If we want to skip, I got to talk about Double Fine, because Brutal Legends, to me, when I first picked it up, that was like one of my favorite games.
All the way up until the RTS part. That was stupid.
The RTS was extremely simplistic, but it wasn't really dumb.
Well, Double Fine is actually kind of taking a reverse role. Psychonauts and Brutal Legends was actually pretty big games, and their latest stuff.
What's the Cave?
Exactly.
I never even heard of these two games.
Hence, they were big
before. I'm here
before,
to ask the bold questions.
And now the Cave is like, have you ever played the game Limbo? Or seen the game Limbo? That's a no, right?
Sorry, I was trying to do cricket.
So you play as multiple different characters, each with different stories, and that all surround something that happens in this cave. It's a mystery type of deal.
I'm sorry, but Brutal Legends,
exactly,
and that's an upset for them.
Can you stop apologizing before you speak? I feel like I'm sorry for something.
Yeah.
You're sorry for everything, you bastard.
Yeah, Double Fine actually kind of went backwards, where they started off kind of big with their, you know, early hits, and then now they're kind of just faded away. Because this, what, Broken Age is the one with Jack Black in it. That
Brutal
we were
Legend
like,
was Jack
Brutal
Black.
Legend.
No,
the new one has Jack
as well.
Yeah, Broken Age has him back as a voice actor in this new game. But exactly, you haven't even heard about the game, so it's like,
what's the Cave?
It also has Jack Black in it.
Probably. You just
Jack Black everywhere?
Yeah,
if
I mean,
he's not in Texas Hold'em, I don't want to know.
But there's still those indie developers out there that have those, you know, ambitions, like Behemoth. They made Alien Hominid and Castle Crashers, and then they just made that other one, the
Mall
Box Theater, that something.
I don't remember.
It's on Xbox.
You know what another theme is too that we didn't really cover. So we're talking about like indie developers that started indie and then
small,
kind of aren't anymore. But what we're seeing too is like everybody we've interviewed in the past has been in major titles, and then now is making indie games.
Could that be a trend? Like, we're just leaving, you know, big developers to do what we want?
I think it's because those major companies are starting to restrict the creativity. Kind of like we were talking about. Everything's got to be Call of Duty.
But there's got to be less money than that.
Copy-paste.
What do you mean?
Like, if I'm leaving Call of Duty, who's making millions upon millions.
It's creative decisions, though. It's like, you know, they'd rather go indie and try and crowdsource a game they really feel passionate about than just, you know, code another.
Yeah, there has
Call
to be
Duty.
A point where they had enough of doing the same thing every year that, you know, stopping whatever they've had
tired
planned.
Of making the millions.
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
Gold Flakes. Look at Respawn Entertainment. I mean, I forgot the name already.
Infinity Ward.
They got picked up immediately by EA.
Yeah, but I mean, they were what I remember the fallout between. It was because they didn't want to give them credit for Modern Warfare 2. I think it was the whole problem.
I wouldn't want to take credit for that game.
Well, amongst us, it was a piece of shit. But amongst, you know, every other Call of Duty player in the world, it was, you know,
which I have no idea why.
It was a terrible.
Can we get to the
game.
Real serious part of this conversation?
For what the longest, it? I remember hearing. Well, I remember reading that they had been talking about they wanted to create their own IP for the longest time, and now they're coming back and making Titanfall. And you know, at one point, I can see why a lot of these developers would want to try.
But they're not indie
different.
Now. You can't.
No, they're not
them
indie. They've never been indie. So
Hinterland, though, like those guys were big names. Like, the guy from Mass Effect that did the music, I think, and from KOTOR.
And they've all worked on like huge games in their individual careers, and they decided to just bring their talents together.
And then they went top, like they're going shooting for the stars. They got the big name voice actors. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because you're
was
indie,
KOTOR the first.
The first one, yes. First we one? Don't talk about the second one.
I don't know why, man. I liked it.
I
Whatever.
Love both of them.
Yeah.
Which one better though?
The second one had more content, so I had to like the second one better.
Wow.
Story of the first one.
the story, definitely the first one.
Yeah.
All the different worlds you got to go to. The second one kind of used like Tatooine and stuff, which you already knew about and everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't know about Tatooine.
Well, actually, technically, the first one did as well.
Well, there you go. Really, I didn't. You know who liked that game? Dominique liked that game.
Yeah, I remember.
Why are you saying it like it's a bad thing?
Because I didn't like that game. So it's a bad
game. Come on, Blair.
I played the first and the second, then tried playing the online, and I was devastated.
The MMO?
Yeah. It was just not.
You didn't like it?
Compared to Old Republic? WoW, I couldn't get into it. Plus, I actually wrote George Lucas.
Oh my God.
I wrote the Big George after I played the second one, but before the online came out, saying that they should make a third one because I was so just.
I just see pimple face, glasses.
I swear to God, first I was naked with a woman next to me.
Dear George Lucas, where do you get off?
With my polar bear rug laying next to me. The firelight and whatnot.
I want to know, what did you hope to accomplish with that letter?
Did you get anything back, first of all?
I don't think I gave him actually a box of duty.
He said, honestly, I got to the mailbox and I chickened out.
Don't write back because you'll never find me.
He got a box of doo-doo that said Tauntaun Turd on it.
I actually wrote him some ideas for a third one. So that's
the worst thing you can do.
Freely gave up some ideas to George Lucas.
I did. I also told him that I would be his patsy.
Wow. And now the restraining order. You can never go to Star Wars
Land. I have no
idea
why he did not write that.
I sent him pictures of my naked penis.
With the polar bear.
I've never heard of anybody getting so passionate about the game that I have to write him.
If you're one who wants to make video games, you want to write to
those. That's true. If you can find that letter, I'd love...
I'm pretty sure I can find it.
I want to read it.
It has been destroyed.
Next to the Tauntaun turd box that he got back. That's where it's at.
Dear Sir George Lucas.
Wow, we laugh at his pain. That's terrible.
I'm very happy you confessed that to us.
I just want to know, he'll call when he's ready to call.
He's probably somewhere laughing right now.
I have two cell phones, one for him to call. And one for me to call
you. He brings
guys.
It out every Christmas.
he brings it to his kids.
You know what time it is, people.
You have no new messages. Single tear down the face.
That's so bad.
Dear Mr. Lucas. That's so bad. What was
now,
the tone?
Now you have to make it as an indie developer that
yeah,
way.
You have a story.
Just so I can meet him one day, shake his hand, and be like, you didn't write back, you bastard.
Now my game is amazing.
Exactly 37 and a half years later.
Are you going to go to his funeral?
He'll never die. Just fit inside a tauntaun.
You know, there's other creatures.
That's the best creature.
Sorry,
there's banthas.
Sorry,
he's like all around. Isn't
you could have said it was bantha poodoo.
You could have said it rancor for all you
yeah.
know.
Well,
none of that rhymed with turd. I was looking for a turd.
Bantha poodoo.
Wow. And that company is all... under now, right? LucasArts?
I don't know what the hell's going on
Disney,
with that train.
They had a whole line of games that I was waiting for, actually. The Battlefront series.
Star Wars
EA?
Lego?
Star Wars Lego is just... That's a good game. I don't care what you say.
Isn't Disney with EA right now? Didn't they kind of close LucasArts and then...
Yeah, LucasArts is closed.
Yeah, they're going to have EA
yes,
kind of take
I'm
over.
Speaking for my ass on that one, so I could...
I don't know, but I need a Battlefield back in my life, because that was... or a Battlefront, excuse me. Because that was one of the best ones.
where are you going yeah, on that one?
I need a Battlefield in my heart.
Make that 180 on
me. That's going to be the worst love song ever.
And I've seen actually some modders do that as well, where they've taken like Battlefield and they've just dropped a Star Wars skin on it
and then
changed up some of the guns and everything like
just
that.
See Darth Vader run there with an AK.
Killing Taliban. Is what he does. That's terrible.
That's him before a sniper shot right there.
Do we think modders are independent game developers as well? Or are we just saying they're just the...
Cheaters.
What do we think of that? Because some of our best games, what's the game that you want that's on Valve where you play the guy that's
Stanley
in the office?
Stanley Parable.
Stanley Parable. That was actually... Our Parable. That was actually... really high rated. Every website that I went to that was looking for indie games, as I was looking for kind of like the best of 2013 and what's coming out and what's most anticipated, That was really high up there, even though I think it looks extremely boring.
You are kind of the one that sold me on it when you told me about the narration.
Yeah, the narration's cool. It's akin to the game Bastion, another indie-developed game. But when I watched more gameplay, I was just like, I don't care about this guy in an office.
Well, I could relate.
But why do you... Is that why? Because you're like a guy in an office?
Yeah.
And you just think, since I'm in an office and he's in an office,
we're like
kindred spirits. Is that what's going on?
We're all just guys, aren't we?
Yeah. Like, I don't want to play. I don't want to play.
You wouldn't want to play Lowe's?
That's deep. Yeah. Oh, you think
the Lowe's simulator?
No, Aaron, you don't want to play Lowe's Man 2014?
Make sure you wake up at 4 o'clock to get to work on time.
How to stock the shelf.
You can fail. Yeah. That's what happened.
Game over.
Sorry, you're fired. I don't think
get to, you have to play unemployed 24.
Buyer expansion.
That's doing my taxes.
They had an indie game where you played a customs agent. That actually got a lot of press. You were like, it seemed to have like a Russian theme type of thing, where you were at a gate and then people would come in and you have to check their passport and then you let them through. And it got big because during the game it would change where the police would come up to you like, we're looking for this suspect. And then when you're checking people, you would have to either call the police or if he got through, a newspaper would come up saying, 17 people were killed because this man was led into the country and stuff like that.
Is that like that game where you work at a toll booth and you just collect change all day for people to drive by? Have you seen this car?
No.
I've seen, I think, about 6 of those, actually.
Bridge has been blown up.
The game was actually pretty good because it gets actually even more in-depth as you keep playing on.
No, it wasn't.
You get to
frisk. It was. No, you don't frisk anybody. You have to check and make sure that their passport is the right country, their eye color is the right. You have to look at their passport before just letting them in because some people are, you know, shady people.
You know, I heard about this new game coming out where you're just a stewardess on an airline. You hand out the peanuts. And
well, you got to start somewhere.
Is there a terrorist on your plane or no? You won't find out until it lands.
The gatekeeper game, there are terrorists in the game. So, like, if you let the wrong person in, they show a little 8-bit animation of the guy walking and then blowing up.
It's 8-bit?
Yeah, it's 8. Well, every indie game is 8-bit.
I don't
want to
play it anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to play it anymore.
Wow.
Castle Miner is an 8-bit.
I want to make the white guy like a little bit late and get him angry.
What white guy?
Like just the white passengers.
Well, you're going to racial profile in the game? That's what you want to do?
I just want to make him a couple minutes late.
You stop.
He's pissed off.
Right there.
You automatically said the terrorist had a bomb on him.
That's what happened.
God forbid he just had a knife.
You're not a terrorist. You're just a murderer.
Didn't they take over the plane with a knife?
I don't know. I wasn't on the plane. I couldn't tell you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But a lot of indie games, they can't go with the big graphics. They got to start somewhere. Why are you guys discriminating against 8-bit games?
I don't know.
Because it's not 1978 anymore.
Well, I'm sorry. They don't have the money to back and make some big, huge...
Then maybe they should be working for Big Boy.
Wow. I mean, indie games, if they didn't have all the money, or if they had like the best graphics in the world, you wouldn't have
your
League of Legends.
One night we spent like 3 hours playing that one awful, awful indie game. It was like element related. You could have like lightning powers or fire powers or water powers.
We were playing this?
Yeah. And remember the very ending? They were the very end of the credits.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Wait,
we
what?
Played on, this was a year or so ago, probably even more, but on Xbox Live, as you guys know, I like to play the indie games that are there. You know, I like to support our indie people. So me and Adam here, we downloaded a Wizards game.
Wizard.
And it was actually pretty interesting. You got different spells.
Enough for me to call you and say, we need to play this game.
And we played through the whole thing, and at the end was the most crude drawings that you can see.
Disappointing ending in the world. We actually found out you can beat the game with skipping a couple levels.
Yeah, you could, yeah.
You didn't have to, don't go north, just go this way, and you beat the game quicker.
Well, I mean, but you got to start somewhere with these indie games,
keep
saying.
The concept was just exciting, but they just didn't put enough thought, I guess, into it. But,
and they've had games kind of like that have expanded upon that whole different elements as a wizard type of thing. It's on Steam. Like, there's all these indie games on Steam like that.
My friend...
was it Magicka or something like that?
Magicka. It's an MMO, actually, that works with that elemental wizard kind of deal.
And, like, that's a game that I think you would probably like if you like that old crude, you know, like blocky characters.
If it has a wizard in it, I'll probably like it.
Or a wizard Harry.
Yeah, these indie games, there's hundreds. Whenever I was doing research on trying to figure out what indie games were coming out, there's literally like hundreds of games that come out. Because it's just like, it's as if, you know.
Is that one Nerf game we played? Was that an indie game?
What Nerf game?
Nerf game where you're...
Oh, the Nerf shooter? Yes, that's definitely an indie game. Any game on Xbox Live that has Avatar...
That game so
that has Avatars as your, you know, character, then yeah.
I'm going to kill you with a shotgun up close so that shoots nothing but little Nerf bullets.
Well, we're winding down here now. Any final thoughts on League of Legends, Corey?
Go get it.
He just wants to play.
Yeah, I kind of want to play it right now.
1v1 me, bro.
You know, and we've been talking about indie games, and I don't see one little section on here where we talk about the indie game we're the most excited about.
Do you know any indie games that you're most excited about?
Yeah.
Are you going with No Man's Sky?
Yeah.
Well, I figured we did a whole show on it the last time. We're going to keep going on it this time.
What if this is someone's first time listening and they never heard about No Man's Sky?
Adam, have you heard about No Man's Sky?
What?
Exactly.
Everybody I've told about this game gets a boner immediately.
Okay, so then, Adam, you're wearing tight pants, so clearly we'll be able to tell.
Hold on, let me assume the position.
Go ahead and give him the spiel on No Man's Sky.
You have 30 seconds.
That's how long it takes for me to become aroused.
Becomes Go. Goes. I'm not as young as I used to be.
Well... how do you even explain a game of this scope?
I'll tell you right now, I'm not sold.
He's already basically he's played Minecraft, so
okay,
he knows,
okay.
He knows
so you
that.
Play Minecraft. What is that called? Procedurally generated.
Yes.
Completely procedurally.
Sound it out.
Procedural.
Say that five times.
You didn't even say it. You're just gonna
procedural.
Completely procedural universe. So it's an entire universe. I think it's only gonna house on one server, so there's only one instance of this game running, MMO pretty much style. You spawn, and any star in the sky or anything you see, you can get to it with complete fluidity. So you get in a ship, you can fly as far out to any. And
where's the boobs?
Think Planet Trek.
I'm thinking boner, and I'm thinking, why haven't I got one
yet? Well, the game pretty much it. It creates a different planet each time you go to it. So if you go to a planet, it's going to be definitely different from the last one that you got to.
Guns?
Hold on.
Graphics?
Hold on.
It's got
you
graphics.
You had me at guns.
Sell it. Guns?
I think it moved a little bit.
He got excited so much. He's like, I've got the best part of the game. Guns!
Now, when you say guns, I'm assuming you mean more than one.
Yes.
One of the cool things is it's seamless ground to space travel. So the new planet that you
so
land
you're
on. Yeah, and I mean, you're going. Well, you're in a spaceship the whole time. Well, not the whole time. You get out of the spaceship.
But I'm glad you clarified.
He's like, I'm done.
It's moving still. Keep going.
So you can fly straight up, and then what they showed was there's going to be, I guess, giant spaceships. Like, what do they call them in Star Wars?
Star Destroyers.
Star Destroyers out there that you can, you know, I guess, dock on, and you'll be able
the
to.
Fleet.
Yeah, and there's light speed that they showed in the trailer
as
well.
Light speed.
I really,
can
we
you
never
to
even touched on that. What is that?
You haven't seen Spaceballs?
Not in a very long time.
They've gone to Plaid.
Yeah.
But they
Google it.
But they showed like asteroid belts that you can like fire your way through if you just.
Oh yeah,
to.
Yeah. He was about to hit an asteroid, shot a hole right
shot
through
a hole
it.
Right through the hole. I mean through the hole. Through the rock, and then just flew straight through it.
Has this game come out already?
No. They
probably
went through a small
because,
small tragedy.
It better have a lot of guns to get me excited.
Well, I mean, it's still in early development.
It's cool. Each planet is completely unique, has its own atmosphere.
Like every planet.
Gravity
everywhere.
Yeah.
Well what games do you know that does that now? Though.
Some are inhabitable.
I'll make a game that has every planet the exact same. How about that?
That would be the most boring game.
37 Uranuses.
That's terrible. That'd be the most boring game ever. But I think the cool thing about this one is it's player mapped. So when everybody joins a server.
You mean character mapped?
No, player map. So when you Champion play, map? No, when you go out into space and you find, you know, I don't know, Blorgoth 7, and then you're like, hey, it has giant snakes on this planet, everybody. You're telling
Blorgoth
us about
7th
it.
Blorgoth 7 is copyrighted.
it was in his letter to George Lucas. we intercepted it years ago.
Blorgoth 7.
George, you remember when you planted me years ago?
So the whole universe is being discovered by the players because it's all procedurally generated. And then, you know, you're telling everybody else, hey, this is out in this part of the universe.
I'm looking,
like,
and there's... from what I've seen, it's going to be like sort of like a Minecraft type thing where you build and you can craft, actually have, you could build a base, I guess.
But in space.
On planets.
On different planets.
Because in space is
different
kind of
different territories, different terrains.
Yes.
Yes, totally different. So
gravity,
like,
takes effect, doesn't take effect.
Yeah.
Did they say anything about gravity on the...
Yeah, no, it's gravity, even though like the... What photo, like the way light looks and
life
stuff.
Life on the planets.
Yeah.
Complete random.
Yeah.
Rancors and whatnot.
And then they even said one. Even with the like
now,
oxygen levels.
Can you build a lightsaber?
No, because then that's
okay,
copyright.
But you can
George
make laser swords.
Do they make the same laser. Sound? Hold on. I got this. Watch this.
Wow. Not a slurpy sound. That. George, that's actually where he got his sounds from.
When I take my pen out of it. Yeah.
If you didn't hear that, it's because...
Hold on, I'll put it back in. There we go.
That's terrible. You need to clip that out and use that as a soundboard. Hold on, I'll put it back in.
That was for you, George.
That's terrible.
Call me.
It seems like you're just going to sleep out in front of his house. Why don't you love me, George?
I still want to talk to him about Jar Jar.
A boombox over his head.
I think a lot of people want to talk to him about Jar Jar.
The Star Wars theme?
Yeah. Hey,
George... George, I don't want to knock you down for Jar Jar, but what were you thinking?
He was thinking, I wish slavery was back.
He said, actually, some anonymous kid sent me a letter, and I was inspired for Jar Jar.
You know what it was? I think someone was sick, and they said, please, you know, I'm dying. Can you please add this character?
What, a Nazi said that or something?
Someone that had a gun to him. Jeez. Can you name your dog Indiana as well?
No, I guess George Lucas was an indie director in the beginning, wasn't he?
Weren't we all at one point?
Yeah. We're all just office people. Yeah. We're all just indie office people.
We're all office men.
Well, video gaming is an indie podcast. We don't get paid for this stuff.
Definitely indie for now.
Wait, we're not getting paid?
No. Sorry.
Yeah, if somebody lied to you, America.
Microsoft isn't paying us, that's for sure.
I want you to know that everything that I've said today is actually going to my archive. And
you know what's weird, though? That independent game conference or whatever that we were talking about earlier is actually sponsored by Microsoft.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're going to see all those indie games on Xbox One.
Does that make it indie anymore? Like, it's kind of mainstream.
I don't know. They're sponsoring the event.
Yeah,
letting them
big name.
Freely create. They're not, you know, saying you can't add this to.
We might be able to see, I guess, one of the winners on a Microsoft system.
Vote
Gari
2014.
No, nobody wants that.
I
game.
Hope it's the beat.
I swear
game
to God,
now.
Watch that just be the logo for their game, and watch that be like a 20-minute just
epic
in-game demo.
Epic
that's
battle
just
destruction
like
of everything.
The best 8-bit game you've ever seen. Explosions left and right.
I would be down for it.
Is there a dragon zombie in this goddamn game?
I
hope it's Rhythm Doctor now, just because of that.
Oh. So, we know what indie game you're excited for. Noelle and Adam, starting with Noelle, what indie game do you think you're excited for? Do you think? That's what I'm saying.
Think.
Since it's considered indie and I'm playing it right now, so I have to say Smite, which is the 3D third-person MOBA that I've tried out and played, and it's really fun. So I got to say Smite.
Adam Sessler?
Honestly, Foiled, I think. or Foiled, rather. I really think just the... If they actually put a bunch of time into it, make different arenas, if they have a four-man mode, I think
that would be
honestly, it'd be crazy.
Yeah,
that would be insane.
And the amount of lives you have, you have a whole different kind of Smash Bros. Kind of realm and on your hands, and I think they can do a lot with it.
And these games, usually, if you guys want to check them out, you can probably go back through the whole podcast and listen to the names of them and Google them. A lot of them are just free for you to play. I want to play the heist game, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see if that one is actually even downloadable, and maybe we can get some online co-op on that one.
Yeah. And we talked about it already. The Long Dark. That's going to be an awesome game.
Long Dark, yeah. For the things they're doing, yeah. I'm ready to freeze my balls off of that one.
Yeah. I can't wait to grab the Long Dark.
Everybody's grabbing Long Dark here?
I think I did twice since I got here.
Well, and, you know, Aaron might have a cameo in the game.
I might. Yeah. I might have a cameo in the game.
Aaron, a.k.a.
Go ahead.
The Long Dark.
Hit, him with, hit the crowd. Hit the listeners with your catchphrase.
I'm freezing my balls off out here. So whenever you whenever you hear that in the game, you know I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
I think you just touched me. I think the Long Dark just grabbed me.
Don't forget to go follow us on Twitter at Video Game Bang and like our page on the Facebook page, Video Game Bang Bang. And what else? Tumblr? We got all that type
Tumblr,
of stuff,
we're
right?
on iTunes, Stitcher, Microsoft Store.
And most importantly of all, nerdreactor.com under the podcast tab, everybody.
Yep, and check out the new logo. We went live with it a few days ago.
It's also 8-bit. Will you not like that too, Adam?
Does it look like the Angari one?
It's close, not
if it wasn't hand drawn slowly over 45 seconds.
That's terrible.
I'm gonna reach out. I'm so sorry. You know,
Angari people are gonna be inflamed.
First of all, they're gonna be upset. He's like, first of all, it's Ungar.
Get our name right. That's terrible. That's terrible. Well, we had a good time, everybody.
I had a good time.
You're welcome.
I'm wrapping this damn thing up. For Corey, Noel, and Adam, I'm
That's
Aaron saying see you next week, people.